title of this workshop, If I Let Go, Who Will Catch Me? And at this time, we want to introduce our speaker. I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this evening. She's a young lady that I know and have learned to love in this program. She's very, very close to some of the people that I'm close to. And she's from Detroit. And at this time, we'd like to bring to the podium Marla E. from Detroit. Let's give her a big hand, all right?
They suggested that I hold this mic, but I already reassured them my mouth is bigger, so I'm not going to hold it. First and foremost, what I truly like to do is thank God for understanding. If for nothing else, another day clean and endless possibilities. To the newest member here, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Please be under no illusion on what you see or what you may hear this weekend. We do recover. We do recover. And that's not to say that anything of ill nature is going on. It's just that personalities can be personalities. I'd like to thank the programming committee of DACNA for even asking me to speak. I won't say take a chance, because they know who they have to see. But they ain't taking a chance no more. You know, sometimes around here, we actually are led by faith. Things that you can't see, sometimes you're not really sure whether to trust in, and you just take that chance, only to find out that the result, I'm not sure is anyway. You know, they gave me this topic, if I let go, who will catch me? Well, they asked me this about 2 months ago, and I thought periodically through this, actually, what would be a good answer? Well, let me tell you this, my answers would vary from year to year, sometimes hour to hour, right down to the moment. Because God has blessed me with the opportunity of touching out and reaching and being reached by many people. Recovering addicts, some not. And I would have to say that I could not narrow it down to one somebody. Now, if I had to do a list, God would be on the top. God would definitely be on the top. And if I had to go down a little bit further, it would probably be a mix between my maid and my children. The young ladies that I sponsor. Some other recovering addicts from time to time. Some of my immediate family. And so on and so forth. But those change. The only position that does never change for me is the position that God takes in my life. It is always number one. You know, I could say to you all that if I had to take you back to where it all began for me, all of you all could start at the same place, and we'd all end up at the same place. Our experiences are usually one and the same, even though we didn't get an opportunity to see one another in the same place at the same time, doing the same thing with the same folks. You'd never be able to hear anything in here if you stay long enough that would shock you. We've all done the same, and guess what? And that also includes gender. Don't be surprised to hear a brother say what he did, what a female did. Because it does happen. When you're caught up in the grips of the disease, of addiction, anything may happen. Anything. And I would truly, truly have to say that a lot of this talk is going to be combined with all of the 12 steps, but especially 1, 2, and 3. Because with those, helped me build the foundation to begin the process of finding out who I was. And finding out just who and what it was that I could trust to be able to stay in this process. Because I don't know about y'all, if you're anything like me, there's been a few days that I didn't think this process was working for me. I didn't think that the people in this process would be trustworthy enough for me to give my pertinent information to. But guess what I found out after years of coming? That I really ain't got a whole lot of business that's mine anyway. Especially if I'm looking to free myself. Because y'all already told me before I got here, my best thinking is what wound me up here. So left to my own thinking, I will self-destruct. What is it? What's the little fellow that used to be in Lost in Space. They used to try and warn the doctor all the time, and he'd tell him, danger, danger, danger. And no matter what, Dr. Smith would go at it anyway. Well, guess what? What I've learned in here is that if I think and I need to rethink, I truly need to run past somebody. And that's real okay. And what I do sometimes is I try and get a conscious contact with God to be able to give me the person or persons that I need to be able to help relieve me. Most times for the mental anguish that turns into physical anguish, whether I'm the victim or somebody else is. Because I don't know about y'all, but even clean, in this process, I've created some new victims. In the process of letting go, I've created some new victims. In step one, we talk about the powerlessness, having to admit. And coupled with that, going on to further understand what unmanageability of one's life is that caused us to wind up being here. Well, after being here for years, I don't know about y'all, but at first, I happened to be a little disappointed when they told me we didn't graduate. I thought we'd do this thing 1 through 12. Once you got to it, you might have had a few tests, whether they be written or verbally, but we'd be able to move on to the next level of trying to do this thing without having to repeat it, only to find out that we don't graduate, but we do have the privilege of going on to different levels in this program. And that in itself was a relief for me to know that improvement does happen here, because it does. I could go back to when I first got here, and I really wondered where it was I had wound up at. I mean, for real, I really wondered where I had wound up with. Check this out. I'm going to stray off just for a moment, because I usually do this and I didn't. But I have scanned the room and I see that there are a couple of children in here. I will not disrespect them purposely. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and it's not to hurt anybody's feelings. Trust me when I say it. Sometimes we will paint a picture to our children that what we've done was grand and great. They feel like they can do it and make it, and some of them don't. So I want to say to you parents that happen to be here, if you get some questions later, don't say I hurt their feelings. Because you really need to examine who brought them in here. And I say that constructively. In this program, we learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. We learn how to be constructive without malice intent. And that's what I'm trying to do, because this weekend happens to be one of our weekends that we come here to celebrate recovery. We come here to free up ourselves to be able to go back to where we came from and live life on life's terms. So believe you me, I am not trying to paint a picture here that what I've done can be done. What I'm trying to say is, through my experience, it does not have to be done. That through our experience here, that no addict, not one, needs to do what we did in order to feel validated, loved, or wanted. Because the things I did, never one day did I think that I was loved or wanted. It's some shit I did just to get by. Some of it I did because I needed to. Some of it I did because really I wanted to. Some of it I did because I was made to do. Now, back to where I was. In here, finding out that powerlessness happens to be an admission we must make. And y'all can talk about me if you want to. It ain't no must that apply to this program. You better keep reading. You better keep reading, because one of our books introduced from the very beginning that there's a must. Keep coming. Please keep coming. And then coupled with this, the unmanageability, I used to think that the unmanageability they talked about was the way that I might have money in the morning. Let's say 9 o'clock when the mailman ran. By 10, I didn't have no more. With no means to get no more until the mailman ran 2 more weeks later. The unmanageability that they talk about in here is the way we think. And I didn't get that for some years that still kept me in the dark. And the amazing part about it, there was some addicts that had come before me that did not take the time to sit down, and I ain't blaming them. Because when I first got here, we were talking about that today. When I first got here, some people had given me the title of being bougie. And what I explained to them today is it was not that I was being bougie, I was protecting myself. And that if I needed to keep you away by any means necessary, bougie is the characteristic I chose for the day, it was just that. Because some days I came in with sweatsuits and baseball hats on, backwards with gym shoes untied, ready to get down. We come in here with fractured personalities. See, I don't know about y'all, but in growing up, some of the things that happened, some of the things that I let happen, and some of the things I made happen, caused me to feel worthless, useless, and lost. I never, growing up, ever felt loved or special. Not one time. I felt too tall, too light. My feet was too big. I didn't have enough booty. I didn't have enough chest. And I always felt less than. I always felt like if I got my father's attention, it was because I was acting like I was crazy. And if I got my mother's attention, it was a direct result of acting like I was crazy and it was time for a whooping. Only to find out when I got here that it was so many more folks like me that I had finally felt like I was at home. I finally could say some of the things that would bother me and y'all didn't think it was crazy. So let me tell you that my first vehicle to being caught, if I let go, happened to be some of you very people sitting in this room. And I simply say that to say, because when I got here, I couldn't read. So I surely couldn't understand. So some of you all, I needed to depend on to help me through. Whether or not you were being truthful wasn't on me. I just needed you. I needed somebody to be able to say that some of the same things that happened to me happened to them. I needed somebody to say that the same things I was feeling, they were feeling. I needed somebody to tell me that it was okay to have some dreams and fantasies that wasn't considered stupid. I needed somebody to say that it's okay that you can't read and I'll help. Check this out, Marla. You 5'8", you ain't gonna shrink, and I like it. I needed somebody to tell me after they noticed that my feet do like this in my shoes, hey, sister, why don't you buy a bigger pair of shoes? Because the notice wasn't that my feet was big, it was that my shoes was too little. But my thought was that my feet were too big. Well, guess what? Probably I wear a size 10. And if push comes to a shove, I'll buy an 11. I like me. Y'all said to me that acceptance leads to recovery. What part did I need to accept? Well, in the beginning, what I needed to accept is that you all could help me and this program would work for me too. I needed to believe that I can too recover like some of you all were doing. Now the choice was, who was I going to choose to let help me? Well, guess what? In the beginning, my choices was real foul because I was attracted to things that I was still attracted to in the street. And guess what? That's real all right, because that's the beginning. It's a start. So if you see a sister in here that wears a skirt a little too short, a blouse cut a little too short, and when you talk about you got the income tax check, fella, and you ain't got nobody to spend it on, and you just got a lawsuit and her motherfucking feet get to trembling, and she offer you some coffee, get just enough to tell her, no, thank you. Because I got caught up. Some of the sisters wasn't no help because they was hitting on me harder than the fellas were. And I asked myself again, what am I doing here? Only to hear somebody say to me one day, which happened to be one of those life rafts that helped save my life, is that everybody in here ain't the same. I might have not changed for a few days, maybe even changed areas for a few days. But I need it. I longed for y'all when I didn't come. For that identification purposes. Because my people still don't understand after 14 years, why do I still make me? Christmas, birthdays, holidays, funerals, happy times, good times, bad times, time of indifferences, I still make me. On a regular basis, still after 14 years of this. And we will justify what's regular. After 14 years, 7 days in a week, over 500 meetings in our area, I still make at least 5 meetings a week. At least. And the reason why I don't make 7 is because I do have some children. I have a life that God, of my understanding, and our Prophet Synonymous has helped me. This program is designed to launch you back off into the mainstream of life. It's not to hold you up and keep you hostage up under these tables. At what time do we practice what we've learned? We need to know that lucky. Check this out. Check this out, y'all. So I'm going to tell y'all. Yeah. No. I didn't mean to say that part, but yeah. I sure do. I can read my ass off. And I'm going to find it in here for y'all. Just as our freedom to have the God of our understanding is unlimited, so is the freedom to communicate with our higher power in whatever way works for us. Our relationship with the higher power strengthens with practice and faith. Step 3 does not free us from having to take action, but it liberates us to exercise worrying from the results. Now, doesn't that tell you at all that life on life terms ain't going to be bad? That we are, and it said to us, in just our readings that we open up in our meetings with, when why are we are here, it said most of all we harmed ourselves through our inability to accept personal responsibility. Now what? What y'all talking about? I needed to know exactly what it was y'all was talking about. And some of my personal responsibility happened to be not knowing how to say no. My no's meant maybe. Yes, I'll think about it and ask me later. It never meant no. Just dangle a little something in front of me that I thought I might want or need, and I changed my mind quickly. Well, guess what? After being here a while and going through these steps one by one, sometimes in the order they were designed and sometimes sporadically as I may need them, my no mean no, it don't mean maybe. It don't mean yes, it don't mean I'm going to think about it, it don't mean ask me later, it means no. And some days it means hell no. You all have given me that strength. Again, you happen to be in the very beginning the only thing that I knew that would catch me when I was falling. And sometimes, some of the strength that I drew on was a lot stronger than I expected. Because some of y'all didn't hold me up. Some of y'all really let me know that what I was thinking and what I was doing was going to lead me back. Just check this out. After thoroughly, I mean thoroughly, none of that surface shooting shit. During the 4th step, I found out some things about me. And one of the things I found out most about me that's usually most damaging to me is my mouth and my inability to accept life on life terms that would result me in a physical confrontation. And guess what? I used to like it. I found that I liked to fight. As long as y'all gave me an opportunity to come back, I was coming back. Only for some of y'all to tell me it's all right to disagree without being disagreeable. Again, you all were the ones that was catching me. Because on a regular basis, when I first got here, be under no illusion, I fell a whole bunch of times. Only for y'all to say it's okay, you can get up. What that old BS they used to tell us, if you make your bed hard, you got to lie in it. My question always used to be, when the fuck could I get up? It seemed like all my life I laid in that hard bed. Nobody ever told me when I could get up. Y'all gave me the ability through these steps, your personal experience, just a little bit of faith. And check this out. Long before I got here, they talked about faith growing up and read between the lines, because again, this is a spiritual program, not religious. We had this little object that you could use, that some of us use for cooking. Y'all with me? Okay, help me. That some people can't even see with the naked eye. That if I had just that much, I could make it. Well, some days, y'all, I would leave meetings and go home and cry. I'd be in a fetal position. And I cry myself to sleep at night, sometimes not even eating, not taking a bath, not brushing my teeth, not washing my behind clean, ain't using. And I'd be wondering what was wrong. I was going through the transformation we talk about in this book. And it says that this transformation is not always without pain, but some days with great pain. And I just didn't understand what y'all told me, though, is keep coming. And most of all, Marla, don't use. What kind of shit is that? Because I knew how to run, and my running was always to you. Something or someone. And if my using someone happened to be, believe me, I usually had to use something before I could use that someone, because I really didn't want to be with them no way. And how could I tell y'all someday that I wanted to use when sometimes I heard how you ridiculed some of them and they went back out? Y'all don't know what a privilege it is to come here and be able to say 14 uninterrupted years of using. I have almost tripled my time here not using than I did using. And check this out. In 5 years I did use, baby, I wouldn't wish one of them days on somebody. Could y'all imagine? I already had a problem with being tall. I was less than 87 pounds using. I thought I was cute. Hi. Hi. Could you imagine? Woo, baby. And I come around here, and y'all, and check this out. Some of y'all was under some illusions yourself, because when I first got here, and I didn't know nothing about no Miracle Balls, because they had not made them then. I had socks and matching tape. And a fake booty, and y'all was all in. All in. I used to hear y'all whistling and the girls licking their lips and that all y'all was offering good shit to stay. Y'all better take a look around. There were great ones for manipulating the truth. My, my, my. And some of y'all, and I ain't even put me down, some of y'all paid swear. Just for the illusion. Just hang on my arm just one whole day. Just act like you know. And I'd be skinning and grinning too. And guess what? That was one of the vehicles that carried me too. Because no matter what I did with y'all, I still didn't need. And then y'all come in here and put some of us down for what we do. When we don't go back and use them, we stay here. Don't y'all know some things we got to get rid of first? Before we can learn some things new to be able to incorporate in our lives, give us a chance. Why you playing? But they say, then y'all need it after I had thoroughly gotten step one. Y'all let me know that everything in my life did not take a beating to submit to. I could give at any time. What y'all call that? Surrender? And I had a hard time with that one, too, because surrendering always, when we looked at the movies and them old gangster movies and them old Western movies, if you threw up the white flag or just copped and ran, he was a punk. Nah, nah, nah. Check this out. I done told y'all I'll fight at the drop of a hat, and you can love to fight me. I am not no punk. What you mean, surrender? What y'all only let me know is that if I surrender, I finally get a chance. You ain't lost nothing. Matter of fact, if you surrender, it's the beginning of winning. Just here. Just lay your stuff down and walk away. Just walk away. And do y'all know right to this day, it's real hard for me to walk away. See it. In 4 weeks and 2 days, I'll be married. I have a twin sister that I love dearly, but most days I can't stand her. And in asking her to be married, and asking to get married and getting the people lined up for this wedding, without a doubt, she was one of the ones that was going to be there. Well, she let me know that she wasn't going to be in my wedding, and again, fuck me, and she hated me, and so on and so forth. And check this out, y'all. She cut me deep and wide. She cut me deep and wide enough for me to crack her motherfucking head open. But instead, all I can hear y'all say is just walk away. And believe me, in my own house, I had to back up. Only for me to muster up enough strength 30 days later after sharing it at every meeting. That's what we do when we're in pain. You keep sharing it and you keep sharing it and you keep sharing it. Because when you share it, you really don't want to do nothing to nobody. And y'all say, don't cut her loose yet. Give her a minute. And y'all, here y'all go again. That vehicle is saving me when I'm falling. And 30 days later, I say to her, I need to talk to you. And instead, I need to talk to her. What I did is I went in to say, these 30 days have caused me to wonder what I've done. Y'all, I had some nights that I didn't sleep. I had some nights that I cried. I didn't eat. And I needed, check this out, I really didn't need to know why, because I already knew why. I just needed her to be a part of my day. All I needed. And I said to her, instead of saying, I need you to be a part of my day, I said, what did I do for this to go so bad? And she said, well, you said this and you said that and da 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 da, and she went on and on and on and on, and I'm trying to figure out in my mind how to constructively say I didn't, but instead what came out of my mouth is, I tell you what, I accept everything you say I did. I'm going to be the one that's wrong. My only question is, why would you try to make one of the most important days of my life miserable? Y'all, the answer was shitty. This time it made me want to bury her ass. She said the day wasn't that motherfucking important to her. I already didn't take a seat. I'm standing up just in case I need to run. And I'm talking about for real run. I went in some flip-flops that I could just step out of and run. And when she said that, again, my leg went to shaking. My palms went to sweating. And my mind went to racing with the thought of just fuck that bitch up. Just kill her. And instead, I said, I think I better go. And my mother slammed the door and said, can't we just wipe this up under the rug? Let's just sweep it up under the rug like it didn't happen. Well, guess what? Y'all taught me in this here program that I can no longer afford to sweep things up under the rug. That I need a workable solution to any issue that's bothering me. Because what I know about me is I'll let acceptance and some shit and all y'all become victims. 4 weeks and 2 days from the day, I won't be getting married. So I asked her, Ma, I think you should open the door and let me go home. She didn't open the door, so I kind of like backed up towards her and opened it and went on across the grass. I lived next door to my mother. Bad motherfucking do, y'all. Because there's a lot of days I want to move or move on. And my mother said to me before the conversation got so engrossed that she had given my sister, upon my request, an invitation to the wedding. Because I did want to invite her. And when she said it wasn't an important day, I didn't see the sense in her keeping the invitation. So I asked for my invitation back. I said to my mother, would you please get the invitation from her? I'm still being cordial when I want to say, bitch, would you get my motherfucking invitation? You gave it to her, goddamn ass. And she said, if you want it, come and get it yourself and slam the phone down. Y'all, I did like this in my house. Oh, shit, these motherfuckers. They're going to take me standing ass up back. Oh, shit. I walked around in circles for a few minutes. By the time I got finished walking, y'all was sweating and I was musty. Y'all said take some time out. I took some time out. I took my motherfucking shirt and my sweatpants, pulled my sweatpants legs up and came out my flip-flops. I was like, yeah, motherfuckers, what's up? Shit, fuck this. I'll take them all. And the kid said to me, while she was there, my son and my oldest girl was there. And by now I'm in the room. Y'all, I'm so hurt by now. I didn't want to take no victims. Because I've learned some things about me again in this program which y'all carrying me. That with me fighting, I don't give a fuck about the end result. I feel like when I get to that point and my thinking is unmanageable and I done went straight back to insanity, that I can handle a penitentiary number. Not just a county number, but the penitentiary. I feel like my thinking would tell me that I didn't earn enough friendship in this here fellowship that even money orders won't be a problem. So just get down, just fuck them. And then my eyes get to seeing black. I see stars and shit. Snot coming out my nose. And I'm ready. I gather up a little time after they tell me they gonna be there. And Rashid say, "Bae, when they open that door, I'll be standing down there waiting on you." That shit sounded good, but it wasn't comforting. So I gather up a little strength and I step outside. I sat on the porch a minute first. And I go over to my mother and I said, "Hey, Mom, could you please just get the invitation?" And my mind say, "Bitch, hurry up." And she says to me, "If you want it, get it yourself." There she is. And I said, "Oh, hell yeah." But now y'all ain't even got my flip-flops on and I'm outside. Motherfucking neighbors was outside. It was about 72 degrees that day. And I said, "Excuse me, Myrtle, could I please have my invitation?" "I don't have your invitation." All I can hear is y'all saying, "Just walk away. Just walk away." All I can hear in my head that right now your power is over. I'm telling you, Marla, your power is over. Marla, you straight off into the second part of step one. You ignoring the shit out of it. And y'all, I'm standing there. I ain't saying shit, but I'm wiggling because I want to hit her bad. And I said, "Well, my mom said, she gave it to you. So would you please give me the invitation?" She told her husband, "Would you look in the car and get her invitation? I don't want it anyway." And I said, "Well, good." She told me she didn't find the invitation. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. What I'm going to tell you, since I know enough about me, is that I don't want you at the wedding. Because check this out, y'all, I ain't gonna never get married again. And I ain't gonna have not nobody there that ain't gonna be happy enough for me to be married for the rest of my life. Because check this out, I married a man 15, 16, 20 years ago that when he died, 4 wives showed up, 11 kids, and he was still married to 3 of them. I'm taking this until death do me part, and believe me, I didn't have him checked out." If you think I'm playing, you just ask him. Ask him, you can volunteer the information or I'll find it out my damn self. And I said, because if you show up to the shower, the wedding, or the reception, I will physically have you removed. I ain't ready to come anyway. Your fucking day doesn't mean shit to me. But now y'all are bouncing. Oh, yeah, bitch. Just say one more motherfucking word. Just one more. And I said to her, "If you just give me the invitation, it'll be all right." "You come to my mother's house. Now, mind you, this is my twin. I am 16 minutes older than her. We born on 2 different days," and she say, "her mother. Don't that child know she followed me in this world? It was my mother before it was her." I wanted to say that to her, but I didn't. And as a matter of fact, I want to say, "Bitch, you know, you followed me in this motherfucking world." And I said, "I come to your mother's house and I talk to you like I'm less than a woman." I said, "Okay, just put the invitation back, because I wanted to say, if I came to your mother's house and approached you less than a woman, since you didn't approach me, what does that make you?" But I didn't. I went back in the house and I cried some more. I put the top lock on, the bottom lock on, pulled the motherfucking blinds, went to the back door and did the same thing. Took my clothes off to my panties and my t-shirt so that I wouldn't go back outside. See, I don't know about y'all, but some days I need to become unequipped to do some of the things that my mind will tell me that I can do that will be self-destructive and by any means necessary. And some days, guess what I'll do? I'll wet my motherfucking hair, because I don't ever want that shit to be out of place. I'll wet my hair just so I won't go outside. I'll cut my fingernails off or take them motherfuckers off. Because I don't know about y'all, since I've been here, to me, my personal well-being, the part y'all can see, is important to me. Except if I could talk that old shit about material shit don't mean shit. Guess what? To a female, and I'm pretty sure to some of you brothers, a nice hairdo and a good haircut and a nice pair of clothes will make your ass feel a whole lot better. It'll give you the jump start you need to get into the mainstream of doing something better for your life today. So check this out. Some days when y'all see me and I'm a little scruffy, it ain't because I'm having a bad day. I just feel a little scruffy. And when y'all see me some days and I'm dressed up, it ain't because shit going on. I just wanted to be a little dressed up. Some days when you see me a little scruffy and a hat on backwards and my shoes untied and my sweatpants hanging down, ask me what's wrong. Because somewhere there's a victim. Check this out. Some days if you see me at a meeting and I'm sharing real crazy and I'm dressed up, ask me what's wrong. Because I'm trying to keep from getting a victim. And I tell on myself, I don't care what y'all think. Because guess what? Some days, what y'all think really builds me up from what I think about me. My thinking about me some days is terrible. Even that I've gotten some acceptance that who I am is who I am, and only through time will that be changed. And guess what? Come to find out, I don't even change shit. I don't change nothing. I stand in the midst. Sometimes in the pathway to let God do what needs to be done for me. And I used to think I was smooth and shit. I used to always say, I, me, what I did. Then y'all turn around and say, check this out, Marla. Now that we've gotten your attention, and you said, through letting us know who you are, that you're going to finally surrender for real this time. It's time to move on to step two. Coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, but it say us. Check this out. By now, still, I don't believe in God. Not at this time of my recovery, but when y'all introduced that step. And what happened to be what I could believe in again, falling, resuming. Sometimes I depended on y'all to say, hey, what's up? Ooh, you look so pretty. I needed y'all to hug me like I hug. I don't do that old patty shit. I give you one of them hugs that'll make you go home and think about me. It'll make you come to the next meeting looking for me just to get a hug. And I ain't say nothing sexual. I said a hug. Something that makes you feel like you do belong. That if I see her again, I can get that. And listening to y'all read and me learning how to recite the literature, it became something that I could believe in. The dances became something that I could believe in. Some of them fine rides at the meeting made me believe in something. Some of these fine fellas and some of these girls that were looking pretty swift too made me believe in something. As long as I wasn't focused on me. Because what they tell us, the core of our disease is total self-centeredness. I needed that part to be being relieved, broke down. Because I don't know none of y'all that got taken at one time. I mean, broke down into pieces. Sometimes the pieces were so small, I didn't even know they had been removed. But just one day, I began to think about that. Right? Call them, Marla. Call them. Shit, why can't I call Tony? For real. Come on, y'all. I used to go into meetings, and all I saw on the brothers is them brothers that used to just sit with their legs wide open. My eyes go straight to their crotch. God forbid them brothers that was up under the table, we wasn't in one of them circles, I'd have to bend down. As act like I dropped some shit. Act like y'all ain't do it. Y'all on me. I need to know what I was going to be working with. Just in case I didn't want to. So if his crotch wasn't full enough, I wanted to see how pretty his teeth were. Now, would y'all tell me free myself? I like freedom. This shit, check this out. I've got so much freedom in this program that when I eat, my food digests. When I sleep, I forget. Some days I dream. When I go home to stick my key in our door, I don't even get out there something no more. The defense walls don't come up and I feel like I got to fight. I ain't got to explain that I said I was going to the grocery store and it was going to take me 20 minutes and before I knew it, an hour passed and I was in such a fucking panic that I forgot the groceries in the lot. Now y'all want to tell me that I can't be free? Ooh, wrong one. I'm going to be free. And in coming in here, y'all gave me another reason to begin to believe in y'all, because some of y'all said some things that were interesting enough for me to want to know where you got it from. Just tell me. Some of y'all began to pay close enough attention to me to find out that I wasn't as smart as I was pretending to be. I was just a smart ass. And y'all began to teach me how to read. Y'all used to take me off. Remember when three-way calling first came into play? And y'all would always get past the part that I remember and then tell me it was my punishment. And sometimes to get through a paragraph that didn't contain but four or five sentences took me almost an hour. And y'all had great patience with me. So why couldn't I believe in y'all? Then some of the literature began to make sense because I wondered, in some of those reads we read, where was they following me around at? I ain't never seen nobody following me that was writing no shit that would make a book. But it sure reminded me of me. So I began to ask some questions. What did this mean? And what did that mean? And am I right in believing in the literature and the program and the people, the fellowship, the dances, the plays, the conventions, the fine men, the pretty girls? And what did that happen? It's okay. Now that you believe in something that is taking you away from total being and yourself, y'all carrying me still. Now I'm beginning to learn how to kind of like understand. Yeah, okay, check this out, Marla. Let's go on to step three. And I don't know about y'all, but I love our basic text. It works how and why, and our step study guide, baby, if you ain't got one, get one. You talking about wanting to go to the next level of recovery? That mug will launch your behind off so fast and so far, you'll never want to come back. Matter of fact, you'll be so far removed from music that the sound of dope. Pictures like New Jack City come in the yard and went and saw that movie Blow. That shit won't even be attractive to you no more. They say in step three, we made a decision. Part of the first good decision we had made after putting the dope down. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood them. Well, check this out. I didn't understand much. My understanding came from that stuff that my grandmother and great-grandmother and mother used to tell us about God was going to strike me down and he was going to beat me and I wasn't going to never make it to heaven and you the child from hell. And so how could I think that God would do something for me after y'all went to talking about how merciful God was, how good God's goodness was, and how grand his grace was? Let me go back to step one, because I'm really confused now. Only for me to begin to read and understand it says the surrender that we experience in step one, coupled with the hope and belief we find in step two, makes us ready and willing to continue on the path towards freedom and narcotics anonymous. Hot dog! Now what you mean by that? Y'all meant then that I am no longer bound to the limitations in my past. That freedom is free. All you got to do is work at it. Check this out. I done been in some of the finest stores that man has ever created. They got some of the finest clothes that ever have ever been woven or sewn together. And check this out. In me and Margaret, in fact, in Gordon Turner, in Nordstrom, in Jacobson, in Louisiana, I couldn't buy none of that shit. And I sold her. I remember one year in this program, in less than 6 months, I spent $76,000 on clothes, and y'all thought that was some shit. Y'all never stopped to wonder why I was buying so much. It was to keep y'all from looking. It was keeping y'all away from me so that I couldn't get no help. All y'all could think was, ooh, boy, did you see that coochie she had on? God damn, that St. John's was fine. Ooh, ooh. That's all y'all could think about. Y'all need to fight all the time. Did y'all see her? And guess what? When I noticed, y'all noticed? I go and change clothes 3 or 4 times a day and be parading for y'all. Yeah, I did. And some of y'all love that shit. I used to say, what's the next outfit? What's the next outfit? I said, ooh, they ready. Ooh, they ready. Boy, oh boy, some of the toxic shit we take each other through. Many of us have discovered that our willingness grows as we learn to trust a power greater than ourselves. The decision we make in the third step requires that we move away from self-will. Oh, man. Now, check this out. What y'all trying to tell me? But them brothers I see, they're talking about they ain't got nobody to spend their money on. I got to keep my legs closed. And the gas bill is due. And the light bill is doing, the kids are talking about they got a field trip to go on. Some of the females introduced me to getting a second job. Matter of fact, fuck that, go to work, period. Because guess what I learned from the brothers was their money was their money unless I was going to do something for their money. And then if I didn't do it like they wanted to, I owed them something. And guess what, they thought they was doing me some harm when they went and told their fellas. They fellas did them a favor because when they told them what they paid, they just doubled it. And y'all thought that was doing something for me. Acting on self-will has kept us trapped in our continuous cycle of fear and pain. We wore out. We were wore out. We wore ourselves out in the fruitless attempts to control everything and everyone. I don't know about y'all, but my mother used to tell us that we were sitting on the best thing that God ever invented. And when I did my 4 steps, and I had to put down everybody that I had done something with, oh, shit. The list was long. It was longer than most of our rap sheets. And I thought I was doing something. And check that, on top of that, in doing a 4 step after I filed bankruptcy for $123,000 and all the men and the women I had slept with, I really knew that I ain't accomplished shit. Or we may even wonder what will happen if we place ourselves in the care of God. Ouch! Now we need to surrender to the care of God as we understand Him. Again, what do I understand? If I am thorough and sincere, I'll notice a change for the better. Well, guess what? My fears have lessened and my faith has grown. By now, I've linked some years together staying clean. So if God has done nothing else, He's offered me enough work that my every awakening thought ain't to you. So if I'm not worrying about using in most days, my days were consumed with using to the point where my kids walked around with soiled diapers on still. And all I did was lie in the diaper for the paper towel. Just enough for them to not get wrong enough that I had to take them to the doctor and explain that shit. Now what do you want to do, Marla? Well, guess what? Now I'm liking the way I'm living. By now I'm probably weighing about $110. And I'm liking that shit. Got a little couple of bumps on my chest. I just took off the fake booty. For real? And I believe I'm still wearing 8.5, though. I ain't come out them motherfuckers yet. And I believe y'all gonna help me so I can find some of what I think is a secret to somebody that's willing to help. And hear me when I say what I thought was a secret. Because already I don't trust y'all. I like what some of y'all are doing. I like the results of the program for y'all. But I'm still at the doctor that's going to work for me. So I'll give y'all some of what I think is a secret to see what you'll do with it. Guess what? Some of y'all can hold on. Nah. And working the third step, we began to learn how to stop struggling. We learn how to let go and trust the God of our understanding. If we take time to think and seek direction before acting, we will no longer have to run out and run on self-centered will. So check this out. What y'all began to do is, now I'm not just watching y'all. I don't hear y'all, but I'm listening real good. And some of you guys have become worthy of me being friends with. And one of them was my sponsor. That I've been with for quite some time. How you put a sponsor? I still with her and love her to death. I don't always like her. So don't. But I love her to death. She's offered me freedom in areas that I didn't think I could tell anybody yet. Only for me to tell her something, and she tell me something even worse, and I'd be like, really? That only later I found out she was just trying to make me comfortable enough to say, don't, again, Marla, disqualify yourself from this place. I come in here, and by now, y'all, I done probably slept with about 5 guys in this program. Some of y'all be in the same means at the same time. I ain't saying I think it's cute. It's funny as hell now because I see what I've done to myself. Again. And I say, check this out. Hey, God. I'm a little tired of going home by myself. I think I'm a little cute now. I'd really like a man. Because all along, y'all, what I chose was the same man with a different face. Check this out. I chose the same kind of person with a different face because it never wound up being a man. It was always breath and riches. And I ain't putting y'all down. I'm just telling you what I wound up with. And with me winding up with it, I said, check this out, God. I don't know about y'all, but I don't go to God real profound. Some days I go just as goofy and stupid. Some days I go real dumb. Some days I go humble. Some days I go real silly. God know who he working with. And I said, check this out, God. I was leaving the club one night with about, must have had about 9.5, 10 years. I'm leaving this club, and this girl was standing at the bus stop. She was looking a little different. And the guy she was with was fine as all get up. Oh, man, he was fine. I was driving a nice, fine fire engine red Expedition. Me coached you over there. Good. Passenger seat. I'm smelling good. I'm looking good. Ain't a hit out of place, and I done danced my ass off all night. Now I'm feeling like I want to be with somebody. And God said to me, when I looked at her and said, I'd take him, God said, but would you take the shoe? By now, y'all, I done learned some morals and standards. I ain't got a little fiber about myself, and I just ain't taking anything anymore. The income tax check wasn't big enough no more. The little soup money was running out a little bit too quick. And some of y'all weren't hanging as long as y'all said y'all could. So what I began to do is sacrifice. And the sacrifice was to keep my mouth closed and my legs closed. And believe me, I was so lonely, I was miserable as hell. But no matter how I felt, I didn't take nobody home. And every time I thought I wanted somebody, I bought a pillow. But check this out. One day, this brother coming to a meeting. He had on a hat that said NBC. It was a black baseball hat. He had on a sweatshirt that didn't match the hat. And the pants didn't match the shirt. And looked like he had bought the shoes from a retail shop. And I said, God damn. But guess what? Somewhere in his spirit touched my spirit. And he made me feel like I was in the third grade. What the fuck is this? And what I led it to be is that he was turning me off. Left them all thinking I felt the stuff. He was turning me on. And I saw him at another meeting. You know, that same kind of sort of get up. And check this out, y'all. I like Cuba Bones, Big Black Baby. I call it fun stuff. So usually when I get that fine stuff, they don't like to take the trash out, cut no grass, pay no bills, don't want no family get-togethers or meetings. They want their hair done more than I want mine. They want their nails done. They be heavy hanging out the bed while we doing it. No, girl, not like that. And I'm looking at this brother like, God, and I think I'm looking at him because I'm feeling sorry for him. I see him at another, and I ask him, who is he? And they give me a little insight. He look over at me, and I say, oh, shit. And I'm asking myself, what the hell is you hiding behind those for, dummy? And I did like this. And he looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with us? Unbeknownst to me, he didn't ask some folks about me, too. And this particular night, I said to him, I said, hey, sir, you know how we do when we want something. It ain't hey, motherfucker. I said, hey, sir, can I talk to you tonight? I done got up enough nerve to ask him, can I talk to him? God doing for me what I can't do for myself, because by now God is carrying me. The ultimate part. The one that makes my decisions work here. God is here. Asking, can I talk? And he said, yeah. Y'all can't wait till 10:30. I'm nervous as hell. I'm checking out the clock. I done got so nervous they didn't close the table. I don't even know they didn't close. And I look up, and he's gone. I said, that motherfucker. How dare he get his goddamn ass up and leave when I said I wanted to say something to him? I'm mad as hell. I go out to my truck and I'm going to the truck and I'm shitty as hell. And I go out there and he's leaning on the truck like this. I got to hurry up and regroup. I said, hey. Now, the pain that was caused from the previous relationship that I chose, I ain't putting nothing on none of them, because guess what? Everybody that I had something to do with in here physically, emotionally, and mentally, didn't do nothing but prepare me for the spiritual journey I got with this book. You don't put the same thing. You don't ask me them unfair. He don't make me make compromising decisions. Matter of fact, check this out, y'all. He don't even make me happy. He adds to the happiness. Because I finally love me. And then like me, I said, first question I asked the brother, I didn't even ask him what his name was. I said, did you have a woman? Check this out. I have become unaccustomed to being the wife in law. I didn't want to be the girlfriend in law no more. I didn't want to sacrifice just for a couple of days. I wanted all the days. I didn't want him to come from her bed to my bed and I could smell it and I sealed it mine. I wanted somebody just for me. I wanted somebody that I could trust that was only going to be for me. I wanted somebody that I could finally confide in and give me peace. With all my blemishes, with all my shortcomings, with all my defects of character, that didn't mind if I stumbled a little bit and fell, that he didn't have a problem with me putting him on my A-step. That he didn't have a problem with reminding me, Marla, we got a problem. You think it's acceptable? Hey, Marla, the meeting an hour and a half. You want to go? A brother that when I wasn't feeling like brushing my teeth and taking a bath, cooking or cleaning up, would lay my underwear on the toilet, get some food started, whether we ate it or not, take out the trash, mow the lawn. He liked to work like $18, $20 a day. He liked 401k. Retirement funds. He liked family meetings and all. And y'all tell me God didn't care me. To come. I think about past night. Made 4 years. I ain't slept with nobody. Ain't nobody even looked interested enough for me to sleep with. I ain't viewing crosses no more. He ain't put his hands on me, and I ain't put mine on him. When I feel like I'm uncomfortable, I'm learning how to take time. He is not my world. He's a part of it. My happiness does not lie in his hands, so when he gets shitty, he take it and run off. But y'all taught me that if he leaves, I'll miss him before he's gone. I ain't putting him down because I love him to death. Again, in 4 weeks and 2 days, I'm going to walk down that 96-foot step and say, I'll do it. I will, and I can't. Because God is doing for me what I can't do for myself. It started with y'all. The belief came in the program, and I'm depending solely on him. And guess what? Fortunately for me, sometimes God takes y'all in the place to make me believe. Because I don't know what y'all talk about, but in this book, it tells us that we are getting coincidences that are intangible, meaning things you can't touch, you can't smell, and you can't see. But the evidence is there, and we just wonder, where is he coming from? But check this out. I didn't learn how to stop wondering and enjoy. I like this. So who's going to touch me when I fall? It may vary from day to day. It may vary from moment to moment. It may even vary from year to year. But check this out. The most important part about that is, I ain't going to fall. I might come to a standstill, give me a little cushion. But I ain't falling. I am grounded in this program to save the rest of my life. It tells me that we never fully recover. But we find hope enough to stay here long enough for some long-term improvement. Check this out. I have become so dependent on God that when I couldn't read, my kids used to read to me and teach me how to read. The young lady that I was talking about to y'all a couple of years ago with 12 years clean, she at that time was 12 years old. She was just a 30-day shy being 13. That is a direct replica of me. I found myself in my kitchen with my hand wrapped up in her blouse, and I was tearing her face up physically with my fist. Her grade point average was a 1.88. Her self-esteem was so low that it was almost non-existent. Her grade point average now is a 3.0. She's moved. Her hair is not falling out no more. It's down on her shoulders. That young man we used to talk to y'all about is carrying a 3.75 and got a 16 offers, and his person came from Princeton University. The daughter we discussed with you all that the baby died in June is talking about having another baby. Y'all kill me. Y'all tell me that the goodness just stops here. The goodness begins here to teach you how to hang on to it, to teach you how to appreciate it, to teach you how to start to look for it. God is in the business of blessing. And you know my topic should have been, can you stand to be blessed? Because I can stand it. Some days it be so damn good, y'all, that they done got by now. Just be like, what? If you anything like me, if you just stay here, I guarantee you some improvement. And if you don't think you can improve, I heard them say, I don't always agree, but I heard them say that we'll refund your misery. Check this out. I hope we ain't never got to refund nobody's misery. Because contrary to popular belief, be it black, white, fat, skinny, tall, short, from Cleveland to Detroit to L.A. to Atlanta, we need that. We all we got. So if you see me and you think I'm dying, don't let me die. Pull me up. We talk that old bullshit about let somebody be where they are. Pull them up. By all means, pull them up. Don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. I'm talking about on somebody else. So check this out. Your life depends on them. Think you can make it by yourself. And just check your history. We call it inventory. And know that you can't make it by yourself. But they used to tell us growing up, ain't no man, no idol. Everybody needs somebody. What, who was that, Joe Texas? I said the skinny legs and all. If you see somebody here this weekend that you think might need just a couple more seconds, you ain't that important. Give them up. Give them up. Because check this out. It ain't guaranteed that you'll be in that year. And it ain't got nothing to do with using. We got a heart attack, AIDS, cancer,
car accident, the lifestyle, the sick one, anyone. My mother used to tell us, and this is probably just about the only thing she gave me that was sufficient, that if you ain't got nothing to say about nobody, don't say shit. I was at a wedding last week. It was one of the nicest weddings I've been to. I looked up and saw the best man there, y'all. When I saw the best man, I had to do a double take. He used to be one of the guys that I used to slang with and slang for. Before I knew it, I had opened my mouth and said, I felt so bad I cried. We need to watch what we say to one another. If you're going to be there, be there. If you want to get out the way so somebody else can. I ain't said you got to take no shit, because I'm one of them that don't take no shit no more. Ain't going to hold you up. I got a young lady that's so near and dear to me in this program, but I'd like to just fill her around and spoon feed her this shit. I can't do that. As much as I trust you, I done asked, I bet you, 15 to 20 people today, have they seen her down here today? Have you seen her? Have you seen her? Have you seen her? And we talked yesterday, and she said to me, you know what, Marla? What I hate you about you is that you got rules and regulations and boundaries. You got them there, because my life is still at stake. Check this out. Contrary to popular belief, I don't know about y'all, but I like you. I just didn't like the consequences. That's the part that I couldn't handle. If you see somebody, hang on to them. If you can't handle them, get somebody to help you with them. But most of all, what you don't do is don't get a handle on this program. When you get a handle on it, your ass is out. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And check this out. If you are not bridging the gap between you and users, you're unbridging. Watch yourself. But they say, watch yourself or you wreck yourself. Oh, check yourself before you wreck yourself. See, I don't even know that. I've been out to see so doggone long. I had to ask the kids what is the new slang. If you hear, I understand that it's easier to say than it is to get back. I challenge everybody in this room, this weekend, if you came with something, leave it. You ain't got to take it back. Somebody in here don't even want to go home. Change some shit at home and go home. Show you a missing why they gone. Whatever you do, don't try and replace them. Do better. And we ain't even good at filling the void while y'all bullshitting. And take us out, God gonna know who they ask, because we do more fucking up than we do filling. God do the filling of the void if we just stay out the way. If you don't think so, just hear. Keep reading these 10 steps. For some of us, deciding to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understand them, is a process, not an event. Relinquishing control is not easy, but it can help us do the things we need. If you hear, please stay here. Thanks for letting me share.